This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, February 15th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. Who are the free traders in Congress? A new web tool at Cato's freetrade.org website will help citizens separate the wheat from the chaff on U.S. House and Senate votes on trade going back more than a decade. Dan Griswold, the director of Cato's Center for Trade Policy Studies, offers details.
The Center for Trade Policy Studies at the Cato Institute has just launched a powerful new interactive web feature called Free Trade, Free Markets, Rating Congress. And this web feature allows users to search the votes of every member of Congress, House and Senate, going back to NAFTA in the early 1990s. And it shows what their real record is on trade over time. And this interactive feature builds on a series of studies that we did, starting with the 105th Congress in the late 90s through the 108th Congress a couple of years ago, that systematically analyzed congressional votes, not just on trade barriers, but what we call trade subsidies. Those are things like the Export-Import Bank, agricultural commodity subsidies, using anti-dumping duties to subsidize petitioning industries. These are not your classic trade barriers, but they nonetheless distort trade. Some of them even done in the name of promoting trade, and yet they're distorting markets, taking money from people that they wouldn't spend otherwise. So we reveal who the real free traders are in Congress, those who oppose not just trade barriers, but trade subsidies, and it can be quite revealing.
Now, how far back does this go? 105th Congress?
Back to the 105th Congress, which was 97 and 98. And then we added in some key votes before then. The North American Free Trade Agreement in 1993, the Uruguay Round Agreements Act, which reduced barriers, created the WTO, and the Freedom to Farm Act of 1996. And if a member's been around that long, all these votes, in fact, there's 81 major trade votes that the House has taken and over 60 major trade votes that the Senate has taken.
Between the House and the Senate over the years, is there a partisan difference?
Yes. One of the things this site reveals and our studies reveal is that there is a dime's worth of difference between the two parties. Neither party is as free trade as we would like to see Congress go. As you know, the Center for Trade Policy Studies has published a lot of great research showing the benefits of free trade and the cost of protectionism. But there is a difference between the parties on a number of issues, and Republicans tend to vote more consistently against trade barriers and trade subsidies. Tell you where we see one of the biggest differences, and you can see this on the website, is between the presidential candidates. John McCain, he has a lot of baggage in a lot of areas that my Cato colleagues have talked about, but his record on trade is very strongly pro-free trade. According to our analysis on the website, he has voted against trade barriers 88% of the time in his congressional career in the Senate, and 80% of the time against trade subsidies. In contrast, Hillary Clinton, in her time in the Senate, has voted against trade barriers less than a third of the time, 31% of the time, against trade subsidies only 14% of the time. Barack Obama has a voting record on trade very similar to Hillary Clinton's. He's voted against trade barriers 36% of the time, and he has yet to meet a trade subsidy he doesn't like.
Describe the distortionary effect of a trade subsidy. Most of us are familiar with what trade barriers do, but what do subsidies actually do?
Well, they tend to promote overproduction. Let's say the cotton program, and Senator Lugar spoke at a Cato event recently talking about this. We subsidize the production of U.S. cotton, 90% of which is exported abroad. That artificially reduces global cotton prices, which is okay if you're buying cotton in China or somewhere else, but it's not so good if you're living in Mali and trying to grow cotton. So we are not only costing U.S. taxpayers money, but we are impoverishing poor farmers around the world through these subsidies. The Export-Import Bank's another one. We're basically subsidizing exports of large multinational companies, and I'm all for exports, but what the Ex-Im Bank does is just reshuffle the deck and promote exports from certain companies at the expense of other U.S. exporters. So we're saying be consistent. Let the free market work. Let people spend their money freely in the marketplace, and don't tax them and force them to spend their money in the marketplace if they don't want to.
Go ahead. Name names.
When you look at this two-dimensional approach to trade, trade barriers and trade subsidies, you find people, we're looking for people who are consistent in both. And if you look in the House in the previous Congress, the 109th Congress, the most consistent free trader was Congressman Jeff Flake of Arizona, a three-term Republican in Arizona. Every opportunity he had, he was voting against trade barriers, against trade subsidies. Other members of the House who were consistent free traders were Jeb Hensarling, Vernon Ellers, John Shadegg, Patrick Teaberry, Vito Fisella. There were a couple of Democrats, James Matheson of Utah, Jim McDermott of Washington. And over in the Senate, there were six, I believe, senators who consistently voted against not only trade barriers, but trade subsidies. These people respected their constituents twice as consumers and taxpayers. Jim DeMint of South Carolina, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, John Kyle of Arizona, Richard Lugar of Indiana, and Senator John McCain of Arizona. I would invite all our listeners to visit our website. Freetrade.org is a very fine website that contains all our research on free trade, globalization, immigration. If you just click on the tabs, there's a couple of tabs there for trade votes, and you'll go right to this feature. Have a lot of fun. And if your member of Congress says, I'm a free trader, you can test it. And you can find out if their rhetoric matches their votes. You can compare parties. It's just a very powerful interactive feature. It's not political. People who are against free trade can use this just as easily to construct a hit list.
The votes that you've selected, clearly that's not all the votes that related to trade over that time period. But if I understand correctly, you were looking for the cleanest votes that created with a yes or no a clearly articulated position on trade.
When you construct ratings of votes, there's some art to it. You're looking for votes that give a as clean as possible a measure of the members' attitude and respect for the freedom to trade internationally. A lot of legislation, as you know, is kind of a mixed bag. It's the old sausage factory. So we're looking for votes that have a high signal-to-noise ratio, that this clearly is about the freedom of Americans to spend their money in the global economy as they wish without barriers or subsidies. So we looked for major votes. Maybe one or two would be arguable, but I think when you look at these over 80 votes in the House, 60 votes in the Senate, it gives a very clear record of how a member sees the freedom to trade.
Dan Griswold is the director of the Cato Institute's Center for Trade Policy Studies. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. You can find out how your federal representatives have voted on key trade issues at the website freetrade.org.